Cheers. I just want to say on behalf of like the whole church for the worship we just received there. I've just been blown away sitting there, you know, and it's the presence of God just to be able to enter in and express the love that God has for us. And something rang true to me when I can't remember the exact lyric, but it was the love that set us free. It was the love that brought us freedom. And if I could put in a nutshell on what I have in front of me here, that's what that love gave us, you know, that it's a freedom that can't be found anywhere else, you know. And just before I start, I want to say it's a real blessing to be, you know, handed the opportunity to be involved in this radical series. Because over the last few weeks, I just think we've seen God move in powerful ways through this whole concept of radical living, like a radical forgiveness and radical giving. See, God he's totally in this series, you know, and we get one every once in a while. I think he's in everything that goes on here. I just believe this is a church that we receive the word of God, not just preaching, but there's every now and again, we just get one that God is trying to do something revolutionary in the body. And, you know, if we look at that word radical, it means to change how we've been doing things and to bring it back to that root. And, you know, Jesus says in the word that he is the root, you know. So I just came to this conclusion that, you know, for anyone that's truly seeking to be radical in this world, sooner or later, they're inevitably going to have an encounter with Jesus Christ. You know, it's on the way. So this morning, what I'm going to talk about is loving radically as disciples of Jesus, or experiencing that radical love firsthand in our lives and retelling that story to others. It's as simple as that. It's what the world needs. And if there was ever something in this world that desperately needs to be drawn back to the root and to the source, it's love. It's as simple as that. You know, truly unconditional love is the one thing that in this world, you know, we just can't find it. You know, the more we go through life, we see it. The world is desperately starved of it. And, you know, it's to be found absolutely nowhere but in Jesus. You know, I think there's many things that look like it, but when we look at what's at the root of it, what we heard this morning, freedom, it's that freedom can't be found anywhere else. And that's precisely what the gospel is. Good news. You know, it's the purest, truest, most selfless expression of love that the world has ever known. It's the truth that Jesus is what the world has been waiting for. You know, we can look at it in a billion and one different ways, but when we find Jesus, we realize that that's what the world has been waiting for. It's as simple as that, and that all the things we thought we could never be can instantly become realities when we're just open up to that, you know. And I stand here before you as like proud to say that Jesus well and truly broke through in my life and got that radical love into me. You know, and when it happens in a real way, it not only heals us instantly, but it somehow gives us this whole grasp on what mankind as a whole needs. It just makes sense of what the world is longing for, what the world is crying out for, and something wells up in, I don't know about anyone else, but it welled up in me that it's part of my purpose is locked up in unashamedly telling people about the nuts and bolts about what Jesus done in my life, you know. And there's something about that brings an anointing with it. There's something about that God will put people on your path that are just going to be, they're going to be radically transformed in one way or another just by hearing what's happened in your life. And, you know, and this is what I believe to truly love radically is to put yourself second in those situations and put the unadulterated gospel first. You know, any time I've approached telling the good news in this way, I have in some way seen God impact a life, impart a valuable truth, or make the truth of his kingdom known. Even if the person that's in front of me, and this is all true stories, isn't even open to the reality of God, is an anti-God person, when they hear something that can't be robbed off you, something that you're not trying to sell them, you're just telling them the truth, there's something that they can't deny on that, you know. But every once in a while, God will put someone your way, and by the time you finish telling them about what's happened, you know God has specifically put them on your path. And I just want to kind of break away from any notes I have here and share a little story that you know, I'm so blown away by it every time I think of it, that God could, you know, take what's in me and take where I'm walking in my day and put someone in my path that he's going to get to them through me. And a couple of months ago, I went off to walk the Wicklow Way. And for months and months, I've been planning it, saying, this is going to be a time for just me and God. I'm going to see God, and, you know, I'm dedicating the whole time to him. And see, there's always a barrier that gets in your way when it comes to having an encounter. You know, when it comes to sharing, I believe in my experience, there's always that barrier that'll make you kind of shy away or just give someone, you know, a watered down version of the truth, you know. But thankfully this day, like, I was going to get past that barrier. I was going to push past it. So I'm on the start of the Wicklow Way. I have a backpack on my back that weighs about 10 kilos. And if anyone knows me, about 8.5 kilos of that is food, you know. So there's this girl walking up the road, and she's walking a big dog. She has a big Japanese Akita, and the dog obviously smells all the stuff that's going on in my bag, and he comes over and has a little sniff. So all of a sudden, see, God knows what he's doing. He knows that my heart was going to be, you know, in a place where I was going to be willing to share, but he's also works very practically. You know, so he gets this girl to stop, and I just get talking to her. And I ask her, she asks where I'm going. She sees the pack. She assumes I'm going into the mountains. So I'm walking on the Wicklow Way. She's walking up the road with me. And she's going just a little bit of the way with me. And we just start talking about life. And she starts talking about how life is getting her down. And basically how she's just about to flee the country. You know, she's sick of her job and she doesn't know where she wants to go. She just wants out of here because life doesn't make sense. You know, and immediately I'm saying, how do I get Jesus into this situation? You know, so it's on the way, you know, and she's talking about how she hated her job and how they wanted to, you know, she wanted to leave the job, but when it came to her walking away, that her character shone through in such a way that they said, no, we're going to give you a pay rise because we want to do anything we can to keep you. And something about that relates to what God had done in my life. And I started saying, yeah, I can relate to that because, you know, since I laid down my life, you know, I didn't say that originally, but I said I can relate to that because over the last year, I've known great favor through a sudden change in my character, you know, and I was left with that choice then. I'm going to have to open up the door here, get out of the way, and tell this person exactly why that is. And I didn't start by trying to work in the father. I just told her about a father that loved her. And I put my head down with the bag on my back, kind of looked at the ground because we're walking uphill at this stage, and just gave her everything. I gave this girl everything that was after happening in my life, you know, everything that, you know, like in Isaiah 61. Like, I told her that, like, I was once blind and now I see, you know, that I was once bound down with all kinds of weights, but now they're gone, you know. And there was something about when I said those kind of things that I don't have to know her specifics. She just wanted what I had, you know, because there's something everyone in the world can relate to. It's that lack of freedom. They just can't verbalize it. They don't know how to communicate it. But when you tell them from a place within you, you know, that's when it's really happened to you deep down inside, that there's something that they gravitate towards. They see it in your eyes, you know. And, you know, I basically look up at this girl again, you know, and after 2 minutes, you know, her jaw is on the ground at this stage, you know, the tears are welling up in her eyes. And she just, I'm going off to the mountain, she's going home. She just wanted to keep walking with me, you know, and that has to be something of Jesus because I can't do that on my own, you know. There's nothing that I can do to muster that up. And I'd love to say at the end of it that, yeah, like, she gave her life to the Lord on the spot and, you know, here she is in church today. It didn't really happen like that, but her whole world was open up to this reality now. Do you know what I mean? It was like there was a missing link put into her brain, that things that she just couldn't make sense of in life were all of a sudden making sense. And she walked away saying she wants me to give her info about liberty, you know, and that she's seriously changing her thinking about every aspect of her life now. And she just walked away in a daze. And I'm kind of in a little bit of a daze myself now at the moment, you know, up here sharing that. And I just pray that God was on it and that something of what I'm trying to say to you is landing. You know what I mean? And like I say, it doesn't always end how we think it is, but like it's going to end. But, you know, I'm convinced that at no point does my life hold more purpose or fulfillment or being right in the will of God than when I'm testifying to others, you know, out of the goodness and the love of Jesus and what he's done in my life and letting them know that love is on offer for them too.
But praise God, you're very, very welcome. I want to extend a good welcome to the girls from Tiglin. You're very welcome. They tried to embarrass me earlier on, but it's my turn now. Don't ever do that when someone's getting up on the stage and looking straight at you. Amen. God is good. Just want to keep it going, the radical discipleship course that we're doing, or the series that we're doing. And my turn is radical loving. I don't know if we can get that up on the screen, but, you know, it's been on my heart for a long time to preach a message. And sometimes when you're given a theme, it's quite difficult to squeeze your message into that. But when Noel asked me to preach about radical loving, it fitted every box into what I wanted to express. This word has been in my heart for a long time, and when something goes into your heart, it's just like what Matthew was saying there. It becomes very real to you. It becomes very, very part of your life, very much part of your growth and part of where you're, what direction you're taking in your life. And as a Christian, there is many times in our Christian walk that sometimes just things don't fall into place the way we hope they would do. Things can get very, there can be a struggle, there can be battles, there can be up and down kind of in and out kind of, you know, happiness and peace. And sometimes all of that can be robbed from you in a moment. And what I want to preach about this morning is that how do we tackle that? How do we keep a constant in our life? You know, when life goes up and down all the time, what do we do to keep a constant in our life? And love, I believe, is that constant. It's once we know that we're loved, and we cannot be a church that radically loves unless we know we're radically loved. You can't do it. It's impossible. You can't give someone an experience that you haven't experienced. You can't have a passion for someone when you don't feel the passion within you, or you don't feel anybody's passionate about you. My walk into the Christian world began with one man, would you believe, but also a church behind that man praying. And his radical love is the best way I can explain it. His radical love outreached into me and came into my situation where he had no motives, he had no reason, and he had no, there was no gain for him in coming into my life. But there was something driving him. There was something driving a man to go into a mad house and stay and chap on a mad door, go into a mad gaff and sit down with a head case and try and talk sense into his life, where the head case was just trying to see if he can touch a man with a fuel bulb. There's something, that's mad language there, by the way. I'll explain that to you later. You get that woken up in Teen Challenge for a while. But, you know, it was this love that I reacted to. It was this love that I seen something in. But the only reason why that man came into my life, because he was radically loved. Because at some stage in his life, someone came into him that was radically loved. And you see the way it just, it's a beautiful thing. This radical love. Amen? Amen? It's a beautiful thing. And cities can be changed. Amen. Cities can be changed because when people love, things change and things happen. When people hate, things go the opposite way. But when people love and when people are radically loving other people for no good reason, then things change. But the only way I believe, and that is the whole thrust of my message this morning, the only way I can believe that is to know that you're loved. That's the only way. And this is where God has been shaking me over the last months. Keep bringing me into these, down these alleyways and into these cul-de-sacs. And the only way out is me knowing he loves me. That was my only way out. And sometimes, you know, I'm a Christian a long time now, and you think someone's shouting back at me. You think you know that by now, Ed. But we're human. And we forget very, very quickly. And we lose touch very, very quickly. And we go in the downs. And when we're down, we don't think. We lose all that. But God wants, is particularly my life, and I'm hoping that I can transfer that to the church this morning, that he wants us to get that as a constant. That doesn't vary. That doesn't go up and down. That's a constant in our life. That's a reference point. That I am loved. That I am accepted. And that I'm, you know, that God is interested in me. That God loves my ins and outs, and he loves my up and downs, and he loves me. And that's what I want to express this morning. So turn with me to Romans 1, 8, 6. Romans 1, you're there, give me a shout. If you're not, you're too slow. Amen. Okay. Okay. You're up there, Greg. Congratulations, Greg and Becky. They got engaged. That's what I was trying to get across there this month. They got engaged. Isn't that great? Amen. Amen. I'm going to keep that going, Vic. You know what I mean? I'm sure Nolan announced it tonight as well. A 6:30. Told you I'd get in, though. Told you I'd get in. Okay, you there? Okay, Romans 1:8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve with my whole heart in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. And I pray now that at last God's will, the way may be open for me to come to you. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I planned many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I had among the other Gentiles. I am obligated both to the Greeks and the non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are at Rome. Listen to this and mark this. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. First the Jew, then the Gentile. For the gospel of righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. And what Paul was saying here, let's just try and get into the context of the message, okay? Paul longed to get to Rome. He longed to get to the church in Rome, but every time he went to go there, something happened, something else came up, and he was prevented from going to Rome. And Rome was the New York of the ancient world. It was the city, the biggest city. It was where everything was happening, and it was where Paul felt that he needed to be to preach this message. And I was looking at that, and I was studying that, and in every aspect of Rome, there was so much, it was like a melting pot of philosophies, or a melting pot of religion, or a melting pot of culture. And Paul felt that to get there is where I really need to be. But I looked at that and I thought, okay, you know, that's important. It's we understand why you need to get there. But then he turned around and he says, the message that I long to bring to you is a message that I am not ashamed of. It's a message that I have no embarrassment about. It's a message where I feel that I am going to back this up to the hilt. That this is a message where I completely and 110% believe in. And that's why I long to get to you. I long to get to you so you can hear this message. And why was he not ashamed of this gospel? You see, people usually are ashamed of things that don't work. Look, if I was going to sell a car, we'd say. Say, for instance, I have a car for sale, by the way. But if I was going to sell, a car, right, and I've been driving this car for the last 2 years. I know all its little noises and all its little faults and all its little thingy jigs and all that kind of stuff that's wrong with it. And also, I bring it down to the mechanic, and the mechanic says, you know what, you need to put a few hundred quid into that if you want to get it right and all. And then I go, I scratch my head, you know what, I need to sell it. And so I know everything that needs to be done to that car. Hear me where I'm going with this. I know everything that needs to be done to this car. So I have this poor unfortunate knock on my door and saying, is this the car for sale? Yeah, this is the car for sale. And what's it like? Ah, oh, you know, it's okay, it's everything. You don't tell them all the bad things, do you? But in deep down, there's a shame. I'm ashamed of that car. I'm not telling you about it. I have a shame about that because it's about to fall apart. But it's up to you to figure that out. Just give me what I'm asking for. You know what I mean? So it's seller beware type of thing. But there's a shame in something that doesn't work. Like, I wouldn't stand up here and preach a message about something that doesn't work. There's an awful shame about things. I'm living a life of a message that doesn't work. And in me, I'm preaching this message, but in my real life, it's not happening. In my real life, I'm full of fear and guilt, full of shame. I'm preaching a message that's no shame, but in my real life, it's full of guilt and full of shame and full of all the things that Paul denied and said, no, I'm not ashamed of this message. And it just dawned on me. I've heard that 100 times. It just dawned on me. He's, I'm not ashamed to bring, I long to get to you because of what I have. I wouldn't long to be getting to, you know, I'd be sweating bullets now, this fella knocking my door, looking at my car. That wouldn't be long, and it wouldn't be something that I'd tell the whole world about. Come and see my fasted car. I have a car, but then it's okay, the car's okay. see Vicky later on. It's a 2 litre diesel. It's black. What else, Vic? Quick, we have everyone's attention. So I'm not ashamed. He's not ashamed to bring this gospel. Now, when people heard this message in the ancient times, especially when Paul went to Corinth and when he went to Ephesus and when he went all over the Greek world, as they say, because he turned around and says it's for the Greek and for the Jew. In other words, and he said it's also for the wise and for the foolish. It's a message for everybody. It's a message for everybody. And when he preached the message in certain instances, that they mocked him, that they portrayed the shame. You're preaching a message about this God who was crucified? That's an awful shame. Your leader was crucified. Your leader was judged and he was hung on the cross. And where is he now? And it's because the modern logic and the modern faiths of them times were about heroes. Zeus, Apollo, all these hero gods, Nike, all these hero gods that you trust in. And all them gods had a famous life and they lived a famous time and they were heroes of renown. And so in ancient times they preached about these gods and they weren't ashamed of them because the gods were powerful in themselves. But here's God preaching about a God who was crucified, cut down in the prime of his life, slaughtered on a cross. And Paul was still saying, I'm not ashamed. He was still saying, I'm not ashamed to bring this message, even though. And the reason why he wasn't ashamed, guys, and listen, and I hope we get this morning, because it has the power to save for those who believe. Now, that's a big claim. Where does he get that claim from? He can't do that. Imagine making that statement. It has the power to save. Paul can save people. It's not about a fantastic argument that he has. It's not about some secret truth that he has that all of a sudden when you hear it, something changes. It was a bold statement to make. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it has the power to change those who believe. And guys, I can stand up here this morning and testify that. A man came into my house and he says to me, listen, I want to preach a message to you, a message that saved me from 20 years of alcoholism. And he says, I think this message is for you. And I laughed at him. I laughed at him. I ridiculed him when I scored him because he was making a fantastic claim. How is opening up a Bible and talking about this God going to deliver me from a heroin addiction? How is that possible? And he kept on saying, it is possible. I'm here and I'm not ashamed of it. Let me pray for you. Ask him into your life. Inquire of him. Seek him. Go after him. It's for those who believe, you see. It's for those who believe it has the power. And so I asked this God into my life. And this God sent me. He moved me off and he moved me into a treatment place and he took me away for a year. But also he changed me. Because I started to experience that power. That bold claim that man made all of a sudden was mine. And it was starting to come into my life. You see, it's the power to change people who believe. It comes in and in some way God brings something into our lives that changes us. What is that something? What is that changes lives? This is the kernel of my message. What is it that changes our lives? Well, I want to tell you it's this. It's John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave, say it out, he gave his one and only son that whosoever would believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world. He loves us, guys. God loves us. He loves us with a deep passion. He loves us in our When we are flying high and when we are down, He loves us. He loves us through thick and thin. It's a love that's unconditional. It's a love that draws us into Him. It's a love that changes us. When we know that love, when we experience the love of God, when we ask the love to come into our lives, we change. Something happens within us. We get a confidence. We get this blessed assurance. We get this confidence in ourselves that, you know what? I can keep going because I know that I'm loved. I know that I'm accepted. I know that God, the ultimate judge does not judge me anymore. I know that I am found clean before God. I know all the guilt is gone. I know all the shame is gone because He loves me. Because He sent His Son. Because He loves me. And love is the key, guys. Love is the key. Let's turn. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 13, 4a. And we'll expound on that another little bit. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Okay, here's the challenge, guys. This is where it gets a bit chewy. I've always been taught to put a real deep challenge in the middle. But this is it. Love is patient. Love is kind. See, the Bible is describing love here. The Bible tells us that God is love. And so the Bible is telling us what love is. This is an explanation. This is what love is. This is what saved us, and this is what has set us free. Love is. See, I always got this mixed up until I heard a priest a few months ago that this was the challenge to us as Christians. But it's not really, because if you look into it, it's explaining what love is. That's all it is doing. It's telling us what love is. And love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envy. Love does not boast. Love is not proud. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. And where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappear. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. But when we shall see face to face, now I know in part, and I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now there are three main, there are these three that remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. I often looked at that, and that was a portion of scripture that I like to skip over, because I could never fully grasp that. And I often wondered, where's Paul going with this? And I tried to strip it down. I tried to go sideways with it, go over it, go under it. And until I heard the message being preached a couple of months ago, the penny dropped to me what that means, love is, what the love is chapter means. And it just dawned on me that we can never be that. Some days I can be patient. Some days I can keep no records of wrongs. Some days I'm not envious. Some days I'm slow to anger. But I can never be all of them together. Never, ever can I be all of them together. So it's an impossibility. It's an impossibility to achieve what God's standard of love. It's an impossibility. So to break it down, what Paul is explaining, he's saying, this is who God is. God is love. God is patient. God keeps no records of wrongs. God's not envious. God is not. It's all about God. And when we have God in us, it's that comes out. It's God that comes out. Then I can be all of it all the time. Because it's God coming out of me. And what I must do is get out of the way. You see, when I bring me into it, I can only be parts of it. I can't be all of it. But when I let God out, it's all of it, all of the time. And we have to understand that these things that that Paul is talking about here, they're for us. And guys, this is where you know, this is, I love this, because when we relate to God, I would love us to relate to God in this way. Every day you wake up, every time things are tough, every time you doubt yourself, every time that things come on top of you, every time that things aren't going your way, every time you feel under pressure, every time that you just feel overwhelmed, every time that you feel that the waves are going to subdue you at any minute, remember the God that loves you. Because love is for us every day. Listen, for you I'm patient. For you I'm kind. For you I'm not envious. For you I keep no records of wrongs. For you. Love is for you. God relates to us every day from the love is. Because he is love. And towards us, he is kind. He is patient. He is not self-seeking. He does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. He always protects. That's for you. Always protects. Because love always protects. Who is love? God. Where does God reside? According to the Bible, as I've given my life to God, in me. What a great hope that we have. That we are so loved by God. We are so protected by God that this is the God that relates to me every day. Even when I am not doing too well. Even when I am keeping records of wrongs. Even when I am envious. Even when at times I delight in evil. Even when at times that I'm not doing where God wants me to. His love is always, I keep no records of wrongs. I always love you. I always care for you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. You are mine. The blood covers grace, mercy, hope. I always have it. And guys, when we know that, we stand tall. When we know that everything starts to fall away out of our lives and all we want to do is follow him. Guys, honestly, it's an enigma. It's a puzzle. How does that happen? It's almost contradictory. When we allow God into our lives, then we start loving. We come to God and go, I have struggled with this for a long time. I've struggled. We come to God and we're trying. And we're making an effort. And we're reading our Bible. And we're loving people. We're loving the unlovable. In other words, it's my turn to talk to the mad person downstairs with a cup of tea. You know what I mean? We're loving the unlovable. We're trying to be patient. We're trying not to be envious. We're trying to be this and we're trying to be that. And at the end of the day, we just fall apart because we just can't do it. But when we let go and say, you know what? Not me, but Christ in me. I must decrease and he must increase. Let his love come out of me. Just give up trying and just say, God, when I am weak, you are strong. And it's your love that comes out of me, not mine. I cannot manifest it. I cannot generate it. I can't do nothing. All I can do is let you come out of me. And that's my hope for church this morning, is that when we know beyond all knowing that we are deeply loved by God, that then now we can go out and preach the good news. The word good news means good spiel. It's the ancient English word called good spiel. The good news. The good news we're loved, guys. The good news is we're loved. Let me finish. Wow. Turn with me to 1 John 3:16. And we'll finish with this. We'll all take a deep breath and we'll go. Amen, brother. Are you still with me? We're okay, are we? Okay. 1 John 3:16. Okay, let's finish with these beautiful thoughts. This is how we know what love is. Please get this morning. Don't go out of this place doubting that God loves you. Don't go out of this place with works. Don't leave here this morning still thinking you have to do something to get his attention. Don't go out of here with a shameful experience. He So we can love without shame is when we know he loves us without shame. He's not ashamed of you. God isn't ashamed of you. He has no problem with you. He doesn't think anything wrong of you. He loves you with a deep love that's untouchable. But know that you're loved. Please don't walk out of here with any doubt. Don't be looking at your own life thinking, I have to make this right, I have to get that right. All of that will come when you know you're loved. It'll just fall away from you because you know you're loved. And then you will start bearing fruit for God. And please don't walk out of church this morning with any doubt that God doesn't love you. This is how we know. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can he love? How can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. And then is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in the presence, in his presence. Whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God. We receive from him anything we ask because we obey his commands and we do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. Those who obey his commands live in him and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. Guys, let that love, let's all stand this morning. I know there's a hunger in this room for this. I know there is. I know there's a hunger in this room. I know there's a hunger in this room for people to know that they're loved. I know that there's hurt in this room. I know that there's rejection in this room. I know that there's people who doubt. And I also know that there's a certain theology in this room that cannot move away from that works theology. That people really struggle with their faith and it's an on-off thing. It's like they ring their best friend, had a great morning, Sunday morning, but it's all gone. Anyone ever hear them conversations? I feel really low again. I feel God's a million miles away. And they keep on, they haven't got that constant in their life. They doubt it. When they're feeling, see, it says the heart condemns us. But God is greater than the heart. He doesn't condemn us. He loves us. Our hearts will trick us and trip us up. But God never falters, never wavers. He is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. He loves us with a love that is expressed through the cross of Calvary. An undying love. A love that brings us straight into him when we die. Do you know that? That's an amazing thought, isn't it? That's a thought that was put to me. That when I die, God's love draws me to him. What an amazing picture. His love draws my spirit to him. His love for me, like a child saying, like a father saying, come son, come to me quick. It's the love of God that draws us to us. And I believe that in the room at the moment, that people just up and down with their faith, believe one minute and don't believe the next. And God wants to break through that this morning. God wants to minister here this morning in a sense that he wants to break any chains of doubt that he loves them out of their lives. And you know what? We'll finish with this. And if the prayer teams want to just come up to me, people that are praying, the prayer teams, Trish and all, and Pauline and all, if they want to come up, I got a picture a couple of weeks ago. I was praying for one of our ladies. And sometimes, and a little bit of amateur psychology error, okay, but bear with me. Sometimes when you have a child, and we always have to sometimes relate to God as us being children because he calls us his children. When a child doubts that he is loved or she is loved, when there's a doubt in a child's life, what the child will do is it will go off and do something bold. It'll go off and do something negative attention just to see what reaction they get off their parents. And it's just to see if they're still loved or mom and dad are still interested. And it's a very, very sad thing, but that goes on. And we do that as Christians. We go off away from God, hoping that God still loves us. Hoping that God in some way will take us back. Hoping that we're testing the love of God. And that can be a very detrimental experience in your Christian walk, where we walk away from God to still see if God loves us. Where we do wrong things, or we do things that torment us, and we come back to the church and we ask God to forgive us, thinking that, will he love me now? Can I tell you that he always loves you? He always loves you. You don't need that attention off God. You have him. You always have him. We always have him. And Father, I just pray for your breakthrough. Anybody that wants prayer in that, come up. Anybody who feels that that's for them, come up. Anybody who is doubting their own abilities, who is doubting that God loves them, who is doubting that God has no interest in them, who struggles with their faith and with Bible reading and prayer, who goes to pray to get God to love them, who spends hours upon hours on their knees hoping that God will pay them attention, who does things out of an obligation, who serves the church out of obligation, not just to hope that God just gives them favor. Lord, would you come, Lord, this morning now, Lord God, as we minister. Go ahead, guys. As we minister, let's pray into them situations. As we minister, Lord, to all of us, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, break through. Holy Spirit, bring that witness, Lord God, that we are saved and set free and loved. Bring that knowledge in, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody that's finished that wants to go down to a cup of tea and coffee downstairs, thank you very, very much, and the Lord bless you.